The Internet. The Final Frontier.
Well, hello. This is a special CarCast episode of Boldly Going Nowhere. I hope you enjoy all the CarCast has to offer. There's Benjamin Price, Colin Kakamas, and myself in the car on the way back home from JMB and Oregon. So without much further ado, this is CarCast on Boldly Going Nowhere. This is a special car episode. We're on our way back from seeing John Mancini and Oregon.
Is it Oregon or Oregon?
I think it's Oregon. We'll just call it Oregon for
now.
Yeah,
I think it's Oregon too, by the way.
Okay.
And this all happened at the 8x10 in Baltimore.
Oh, by the way, I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And Justin couldn't make it, but that's okay. John Mancini was very good. We got some footage up there. I'm just going to upload it to Facebook just when I get a chance, which I'm not sure when that is. I've been so crazy-ass busy with the podcast and just everything merging together.
We'll give you the heads up, everybody, when that'll happen so that you'll know when.
But I will admit, John Mancini is definitely a very solid show. I had a lot of fun with it.
Same here.
Agreed.
I thought that his, like, everyone kind of had their own part in it, and he took most of the stage, but, that's his name, and it's his band, and he definitely, the new guys, it didn't have the same feel as before when he had previous members, like the old bassist and the old saxophone players, and, like, his father is still there, which they still have that, which is pretty neat.
Who's his dad?
His dad was a trumpet player.
Really?
Yeah.
Alright.
He said it on stage. I was about to record it, but it was in between songs, and I wanted to separate them for the most part. But,
they played a new song off their new album. They played a song off their new album, Sun King.
Yeah, Sun King. When we get a chance, we're gonna ask them what kind of alcohol is on their website.
I'm almost positive that's a Crown Royal bottle.
Yeah. We're talking about the image on johnmancini.com, by the way. So, if you can look that up. I'll still plug their stuff. We came out to see them. It's fine. But unfortunately, we couldn't get, things happen. We couldn't get an interview with them. That's fine. We'll probably get their interview with him later. Probably at a better venue. I think this is a good thing. Mainly because that we can get, I'm assuming he still works as an adjunct professor at Towson University, and we could probably use like one of the audio rooms or one of those nice sealed rooms with nice mic equipment.
Oh, maybe.
And I could just plug some of my mics in there
and
hook up the recorder, and everything would be nice.
Maybe.
That'd be real nice.
Yeah, I think it'd probably be the best thing to do. We'll see what's going on, but anyway, back to the review of the show.
John Mancini, I have to admit, I was really. I mean, this is my first time seeing them live. I've heard some of their studio stuff off of Sun King, and it's pretty solid. But I got to admit, I probably like them better as a live band than I do on their album.
Yeah, they definitely have there's a lot more spirit live. I didn't play their usual stuff because sometimes we'll play the 2001 theme, and it's really freaking awesome. Yeah. Like the way it was before with the old members. When I last saw them, I saw them with the new bassist last time. I don't know what I'm talking about. Actually, Ben and I saw them last time.
I don't even remember that, Sean, to be honest with you.
One too many, huh?
No, I just don't remember it.
Yeah.
I thought this was the first time I've seen this band, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Oregon. Let's discuss Oregon, shall we?
I think we will.
Okay.
Oregon's an LA band that was headlining the show, actually.
Yeah.
John Mancini was the opening act, which, after hearing both bands, I'm actually a little surprised by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that their music's very is it, the band's kick ass. I mean, they're all virtuosos. They are virtuosos, and I deeply respect anyone with that kind of musical talent. But I thought that some of the stuff needed to be like the pace needed to be changed just a little bit. But then again, that's jam band music, and it was kind of had this funky vibe to it.
Yeah.
I mean, they went to they were one of those premier bands at All Good, which is like one of those basically it's the Woodstock for jam bands.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, it's like a whole like 4-day weekend of drugs and music and fun.
Yeah, now
if that's what you're into.
But. Now, if Justin were here, I think he'd agree with me on this, but I mean, I don't know. I honestly think Orgode was a definite armadillo tank situation.
I totally agree.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong, every element of the band was good in its own singular right. The guitarist, fucking epic. The bass player rocked the shit out of the crowd.
He looked like the black guy.
He looked like the black dude from Enter the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon.
That's what I thought too.
It was so uncanny. It was scary.
You know, he looked like in Cowboy Bebop, the guy was dragging on the episode of Mushroom Samba when he's dragging that chest. That's what the guy looked like. That could be his, like, anime character.
I was gonna say, I'll go ahead and take your word for it, but I mean, the drummer was awesome. The singer was awesome. But here's the thing. In my opinion, the instruments fit well together, but when the singer introduced her element into the middle of that jam band, I don't know. Something just didn't mesh well.
Yeah, I agree.
In my opinion. Now,
The thing is, it sounded like she was good.
She was good. No.
She was good.
Let me rephrase that. She was good, but the incision of her voice into the music we were listening to from the actual
musicians.
It was
two different styles.
Yeah, they're far different, and it just sounded off.
And the thing is, like, the music didn't really accompany her. It was just kind of...
It's like she was trying to keep up with the musicians, and the musicians were paying her no heed.
They paid her a little, but not
really?
Not enough. A little. Although when I say a little, I mean...
You're being very... What's the word?
What? Nice?
I guess. You're giving them a lot of credit.
Well, yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not saying, like, they completely, like, blew her off. I mean, they were, like, screaming at the crowd to, like, give it up for her because she was... And let me, like I said, when I say that it didn't mesh well together, that no way means that she was a bad singer by any... I mean, now, when I say Armadillo Tank was a group that Justin and I had seen at BitGen Gamerfest about, 2 years ago.
Right.
And it was a similar situation. It was... The band was just fucking epic, but the singer was just so out of place. But, I mean, in that scenario, the singer was just fucking awful. I mean, the singer, yeah. I mean, literally should not have been up on stage. She should have been banging her hand on a tambourine or something. I mean, if she really wanted to be doing something. But, I mean, she had, like, no vocal talent whatsoever. This girl, who's playing for Orgone, completely different scenario. Definitely had a set of pipes on her.
She had a virtuoso voice. It was amazing.
Yes.
Beautiful voice.
I thought just like, wow, like she's really good. So I recorded some of her, like a little bit. Because like the band, I really don't want to insult this band just because like I enjoyed most. Enjoyed most of it.
here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if they had been a blues band and she had been singing, would have been perfect.
Oh, yeah, agreed. She would go really well
but
with, like, blues
they were playing,
or some jazz.
But they were playing it straight-up funk.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing. That's the thing. Her voice in that sort of music, it's out of place. And you can tell.
Like, if they had
definitely obvious.
If they had, like, some funky dude with, like James Brown, kind of.
I mean, not even James Brown. It's just, you know, if they had, like... If she had just, you know, instead of just singing it straight up, like, I mean, yeah, the way she was singing was more like bluesy singer-songwriter.
It was.
Right, like, you know, but, I mean, the way she should have been singing it was, you know, Shaka Khan, George Clinton type shit.
She didn't mesh with the music. I mean,
that's,
there,
I, that's,
yeah, well, I think we've all made that point.
That's
it's,
the only that
it's
w-
the example.
Say,
it's example of two great things, and the two great things, but together don't work as strongly as they as they are separate.
That's why we call it the armadillo tank effect.
Right.
And it's, I like and like I said, if we had to say anything was wrong with the show tonight, that's our only complaint. That's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everything else, I mean, the venue was kicking. The first band was fucking epic.
Like, let's discuss the dancers, the people dancing.
Oh my god.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna say this. I'd like to make a blanket statement for anybody ever going into a club again.
Blanket statement.
If you are a chick and you want to dance off of the beat, fine. You're hot. You're gyrating. It's a plus side for anybody in the room, okay?
Exactly.
If you are a dude and you are dancing off beat, stop. Just stop.
The one dude, I didn't know what he was doing. He was trying to do, I guess it was some kind of Mick Jagger type of thing, but
like,
it didn't really work out for him.
Mick Jagger doing interpretive dance.
Yeah. Like, I thought
he's like jumping all over the place and he's wiggling around like he's a fish out of water.
I thought at one point that he was going to do like the singing hands thing from Napoleon Dynamite where he's like a bird.
Oh my god.
I thought he was going to do that at one point. Okay, the old man.
There was a dude who easily must have been in his 60s or 70s. Dude was old enough to qualify for AARP at the very least.
Oh, easily.
And this dude was like literally throwing, he's dancing around. He took off his shirt mid-show. I was like, what are you doing?
He was crazy. And he kept the bugging everybody going backstage to fuck.
He's like, hey, what are you doing back there? What are you doing back there? Is there an orgy? What's going on?
Pretty much.
Like, he wanted to be involved in the orgy.
Oh, my God. I didn't catch that part.
I don't think there was orgies, but there was definitely sex going on.
It's sex, drugs, and rock and roll, Sean. Get it right.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it was
there
like...
There was definitely something going on in the background.
Because normally at that venue, when I was going to Towson, I usually was hammered on those shows. And, I'm talking about, like, enough to kill a small mammal type of alcohol.
Right.
And
a dog.
Yeah. Enough to kill seven chihuahuas.
Yeah, I was gonna say enough to kill Lassie.
Enough to kill Lassie. There's one thing where like it's with alcohol and me, it's if I'm like at that type of venue and everyone else is, like all my friends are like, yeah, let's do it and let's go get drunk, man, and it's like one or 12 beers. And then once you get into that mode, and once you get into that kind of drunk haze slash, you know, maybe a little buzz from some other things, then the music sounds all right. It's something. It's a different mindset.
And you can literally, fact was proven tonight because we were completely sober. Like we had had a beer right before the show when we were eating dinner.
Yeah.
By the way, the place we ate dinner at. Oh, dude. Epic pizza?
Yeah.
What was the name of that place again?
I honestly don't remember.
It was something
like,
that had to do with
dog. Bulldogger. It was by the 8x10. It's on Cross Street. If you see, like, Bulldog. I think it was called Bulldog.
Like, Paw Dog or something like that.
Paw Dog, know. Bulldog or something.
Yeah.
It's down there. So, if you're down at East 10 Cross Street and just go down to the, and just look for, like, a dog in front of the, front of the place. It's right by the 8x10.
Has a dog name.
Yeah.
But fucking epic pizza, epic beer. And anyway, but so we got there and John Mancini Man went on. We were listening to John Mancini Man for about an hour and a half. They finished up their set. Orgone came on. At this point, everybody who was drinking was drunk. And we were sober. And so it you can honestly tell the perspectives as to how the music affects people, because we were sober and we were like, there's something wrong here. We can't put our fingers on it right now.
Right.
But something ain't right. Whereas every single person whose blood alcohol content was over the legal limit was like, this shit is epic. Ah. They're dancing around
and there was definitely some weed there. I walked into the bathroom.
Stickiest of the icky.
I walked downstairs and I immediately a wall of just Bob Marley-esque weed scent just hit my nostrils. But, I mean, it's you know,
Sean.
It smells not bad, and I walked in. I'm just like, whatever. So I go to take a piss, and then the one guy's like, woo, it smells good in here, right?
Hey, Sean.
And then the one guy in the stall is like, yeah, if you get that smell, that's just the smell of my piss. That's what it smells.
Sean.
Yeah.
Anyways, as I was gonna say was, it's like the last time I went there with you, it smelled like it's pretty much smelled the same too. So.
Yeah, at least you remember that.
Yeah, I know. I remember the whole place and everything from the last time. I just didn't remember actually listening to that particular band.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean, that was a pretty decent venue. I've been in a lot worse.
Yeah. Same here.
The comparison between the two. I mean, we were sober. We were sitting there, and we were like, "All right, this is all right," but there's something not right here. And then everybody was drunk, was like jumping up and down, dancing around.
Yeah, they were really
dry humping for fuck's sake.
You could definitely tell it was a bunch of white people there dancing because none of them knew
how to fucking do it right.
Yeah, everybody was just fucking it up. I'd also have to say too that the time change, we were talking about this before we started recording, is that they changed the time from 9 to 8 o'clock, like the place opening up, 8 by 10 opening up at 8.
That was probably more, that probably had more to do with the venue, not the groups.
Yeah.
Like the groups probably were still planning on going, I mean, that's probably why they went on at like 9
yeah,
instead 9:30. Of
8. Yeah,
they probably wanted to get everybody, I mean, the venue probably wanted to get everybody in and drinking before the show actually started.
Right.
Because once the show actually started, they knew that the fucking front end was going to be packed, so
and
there was no way they were going to be able to get people to the bars when people were going to be listening to the show.
Yeah.
And that's it was a good call on their part, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucked for us, because we were like, you know,
we weren't really expecting it. Yeah, we weren't expecting
it. It was
that
an interesting
all.
Night either way. What about after the show when we went to the gas station? Anybody remember a few things that we can touch on
there? Oh, my God.
That?
Jesus.
All right, okay. First, we're having trouble finding a gas station. We're all kind of stressed because,
Since we were in a hurry to get down to the 8x10 by 8 o'clock with the doors open and then found out, oh, wait, we have to wait another hour for John Mancini to go on. What the fuck?
And he changed it.
They changed it day of, and then John Mancini still went on at 9 o'clock. So we were like, so why the hell did we have to show up at 8?
Right.
So anyway, because we had to get there by 8, we were basically gonna get down to Baltimore. We got to Cross Street at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right.
So we made it, like, literally within, like, 5 minutes of the, you know, the opening doors. So we were like, all right, we're good. You know, and then we were like, all right, well, they're not on yet, so let's just go eat. And then we saw the show. Everything was good. And, you know, basically we started driving around looking for a gas station because by the time we had gotten out of the show, they had shut Cross Street down on both ends.
Yeah.
So we couldn't get our car from the parking garage to the gas station, which was right down the street from the location we were at.
Yeah.
Where we were planning to go.
Yeah. So basically we had to drive all the way back to 95.
So on, like, thumbs down on you, Baltimore, for doing that. I'm sorry. That's stupid.
Anyway, but so then we found a gas station right near the on ramp for 395, so it was right where we were going anyway. So not a big deal.
Yeah.
But we get there and we're walking out of the station with, you know, our accoutrement, our drinks and shit. And I'm about ready to start pumping gas, and this chick in like
looks like a hooker.
I couldn't tell if her hair was real, it was dyed pink, or if she was wearing a wig.
I think she was wearing a wig.
And her, literally,
a weave.
We're all walking out. Yeah, it's probably a weave. We're all walking out, and she says to us, "Hey boys, Halloween's over." I'm like, the fuck?
And she was licking her, like, tongue, like, very, very...
And they had some music loud up in their car, too.
Yeah, it was very... I felt wrong. I felt like I needed an adult. Like and then when we were sitting there, Colin's scrubbing the egg off his car.
Some little bastard whipped an egg at my car a few days ago, and we got the majority of it off.
Week ago.
Well, yeah, we had gotten all of it off, but when the fluid that we used to wipe it off with had left some stain on my window, which apparently Ben kept saying looked like a face. So finally, I was just so goddamn tired of hearing it, I just scrubbed it off while we were on the
gas
station.
You know, it looked like Steve Jobs.
It did not look like Steve Jobs.
It was Steve Jobs.
See, here's the thing. You changed your story. First it was, it looks like a chick's face. Then it was like, it looks like
my
face.
I had to make
face.
A current. I had to make this current.
And then you're like, it looks like Steve Jobs. Why don't we just cut to the chase and said it looked like Jesus?
No, that's like that's the receipt people, and he belongs in receipts and chips.
Right.
Like, if he's going to appear.
Right. Anyway. So, we're at the gas station. They're in the car. I'm pumping the gas. And, like, quite frankly, I mean, there are three of them. And then, if memory serves correctly, Ben, what'd you see them do?
Oh, they were splitting up some rocks. Some,
crack.
Crack rocks.
So, crack rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. You know, you guys are lucky that you guys, like, tried to get me into the car when you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I was about to do?
What?
After I cleaned the window off? I was going to be like, hey, baby, you looking for a good time?
Oh my God.
They probably would, too. They probably would.
Like, hey, baby,
the pimp was in the car.
Yeah.
Which one? They were all chicks.
No, there was a pimp. The pimp was in the other car.
The dude was in the car.
Oh, there was another dude?
Yeah, the girl that had the funky hair.
Oh, in her car.
Yeah, in her car. He was in the back lane, laying down. Yeah, that's where the pimp was.
Oh, nice.
They were pretty much splitting up the payment tonight. Or at least their little treat.
Pimps of a feather stay together, brother.
Yeah.
Bros before hoes.
She was probably the king. She was probably the queen slut.
She was queen. She was king whore.
Yeah.
King whore.
Bros before hoes. Anyway.
Dude, you better cut that out.
What? What?
You best cut that out, son.
What? Cut what out?
You know what I'm talking about.
I coughed. I'm sorry. The sickness has been going around. The sickness.
Anyways, anything else we got to touch on?
Yeah. So, I would say, if anything, check out Sunk Cave by John Lanzini, man.
Yeah.
Orgone, I would say, if you're down in a 12-pack and you're in a sweaty, a sweat box of a party room, put on some Orgone.
Yeah.
Otherwise, avoid it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like,
unless you're in a constant jam band with absolutely no...
If you're looking at old blaxploitation films and you need kind of that music for that car chase scene, go ahead. Orgone, yeah, go with it.
Yeah.
Go with the Orgone for the blaxploitation film car chase scene.
And anybody else find it weird that they were singing Funky Nassau to a group full of white people?
Yeah.
I mean, like Funky Nassau is a fucking reggae tune, and they're like trying to make it into this jam band in a room full of white people. I'm like, and everyone who was drunk was totally digging it. They were like, yeah, woo! I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Why are you playing a reggae tune?
I guess it's the problem that we're sober. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Pardon me for having to drive.
Well, that and have a chance for a potential interview anyways.
We're trying to be professional.
Yeah.
And yet we can't experience what everyone else is experiencing, and thus we lose out.
I think we were in the wrong area, and we set up the wrong... It was the wrong place for professional podcasts. Even though... I'd like to say thank you, Ben. Thank you for passing out those.
Yeah, I went around
those cards.
And talked about the podcast.
Thanks to Ben for.
Because I just I don't know why it's just me. I can't just walk up to people and say, "Hey, you're taking the podcast. I never met you before." Awkward. Like, because I can't go up to people and like I'm a big pussy like that. I'll just say that.
Well, I don't mind
right,
doing
meow.
It.
Meow.
It's kind of fun.
Meow. Yeah, see, Ben loves to do that, and that's kind of like him. He's our
Ben
PR guy.
Ben loves to shoot the
and
shit.
And he loves to do that. He loves to socialize. So,
yeah. I don't think this was the best venue for doing it, but
I mean,
I still did
at
it
this
anyways.
Point, yeah, I would have to agree. most likely it was probably the 8x10 was probably like the worst possible venue to do that at, just because the location was small, it was packed. Each respective band started about an hour later than they should have.
Yep.
So we were already at a disadvantage when the show actually started.
And also I have to point out too, we did get a few connections in there anyway.
The whole night was not a total wash. Yeah.
So we'll have some new content.
We saw some good bands. We heard some good music. We got a little more entertainment than we bargained for.
Yeah.
You said it.
Okay.
So, like I said, I would suggest you check out John Mancini Band, check out their new album, Sun King, and I would say definitely check out Orgo. They're definitely worth a listen.
Where should I upload these videos? Should the Facebook or the Tumblr?
Oh!
Because the Tumblr's a pretty nice page, and we kind of...
Why don't you just upload them on our YouTube account, and then just link them on both?
Yeah.
Okay.
That should work just as well.
Okay, yeah.
So this is pretty much it. It's the end.
Yep.
This is the end of the show. Yep. Plugs, as we said, check out johnmancityband.com. Check out Orgon. Pretty sure they're both on iTunes. Check out castwavestudios.com. If you have an email for us or any questions, or you have your Stump a Trek Nerd. Stump a Star Wars Nerd. I've listened too much to more Morning Stream. Stump a Star Wars Nerd a question, or you want to challenge Colin and his Star Wars nerdiness, ultimate nerdiness, take us an email at bgmpodcast@gmail.com. Check out the Tumblr page and check out the bonus BS, just for the sheer fact that we need more views on that, because there's a little sponsor in there. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But I'm kind of proud of it. So go listen to that episode. Give the sponsor the support that he needs, so we can have repeat sponsors. Because it's nice to get a little bit of money back for all the shit we spent on this.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that wraps that up. And so, as always, I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And we are boldly going nowhere. Out.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production.
Check us out at facebook.com/BGMPodcast and at Twitter at BGNPodcasts.
Email us at BGMPodcast@gmail.com.
Check out castwavestudios.com for more information.